face to the ground. And he said, "Now behold, my lords, please turn aside into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet, that you may rise early and go on your way." They said, however, "No, but we shall spend the night in the square." But he urged them strongly, so they turned aside to him, entered his house, and he prepared a feast for them and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, surrounded the house, both young and old, all the people from every quarter, and they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, that we may have relations with them." But Lot went out to them at the doorway and shut the door behind him and said, "Please, my brothers, do not act wickedly. Now behold, I have two daughters who have not had relations with man. Please let me bring them out to you and do to them whatever you like. Only do nothing to these men, inasmuch as they have come under the shelter of my roof." They said, "Stand aside." Furthermore, they said, "This one came in as an alien and is already acting like a judge. Now we will treat you worse than them." So they pressed hard against Lot and came near to break the door. But the men reached out their hands and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves trying to find the doorway. Then the men said to Lot, "Whom else have you here? A son-in-law and your sons and your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, bring them out of the place, for we are about to destroy this place because their outcry has become so great before the Lord has sent us to destroy it." Lot went out, spoke to his sons-in-laws who were to marry his daughters, and said, "Up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city." But he appeared to his sons-in-law to be jesting. And when morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city." But he hesitated. So the men seized his hand and the hand of his wife and the hands of his daughters, for the compassion of the Lord was upon him, and they brought him out and put him outside the city. And it came about when they had brought them outside that one said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, and do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains, lest you be swept away." But Lot said to them, "Oh no, my lords. Now behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have magnified your loving kindness, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest the disaster overtake me and I die. Now behold, this town is near enough to flee to, and it is small. Please let me escape there, is it not small, that my life may be saved?" And he said to him, "Behold, I grant you this request also, not to overthrow the town of which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." Therefore the name of the town was called Zoar. The sun had risen over the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But his wife from behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Now Abraham rose early in the morning and went to the place where he had stood before the Lord. And he looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the valley. And he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land ascended like the smoke of a furnace. Thus it came about when God destroyed the cities of the valley that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot lived. And Lot went up from Zoar and stayed in the mountains and his two daughters with him, for he was afraid to stay in Zoar, and he stayed in a cave, he and his two daughters. Then the firstborn said to the younger, "Our father is old, and there is not a man on earth to come in to us after the manner of the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and let us lie with him, that we may preserve our family through our father." So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. And it came about on the morrow that the firstborn said to the younger, "Behold, I lay last night with my father. Let us make him drink wine tonight also. Then you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve our family through our father." So they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him. He did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Thus both the daughters of Lot were with child by the father, and the firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. And as for the younger, she also bore a son, and he called his name Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the sons of Ammon to this day. Amen. So we see in 18, we had the three men. Now we know very clearly that these were angels. In chapter 19, verse 1, it says, "Now two angels came to Sodom." Remember the previous, there was three men, three angels, and now there's two. And so, like I shared yesterday, most likely the third person there was Christ. It was, again, a Christophany that occurs there. And so Lot comes, and these two angels come to Sodom in the evening. Remember they said, "We're going to go down, and we're going to destroy the city." And so they're on their way. And Lot, we first meet him here, and now he's sitting at the gate of Sodom. I want to just spend a bit of time talking about the spirit of compromise. Okay, the spirit of compromise. It's not necessarily huge sins that we commit, but it's these little things that happen in our lives, these little compromises that actually lead to our destruction. If you remember when we first met Lot after they left the homeland, in chapter 13, verse 12, it said that Lot moved his tents as far as Sodom. And so Lot moves away from where Abraham was, but he's near the valley where Sodom was. A chapter later in 14:12, we now read that Lot was living inside of Sodom. And so now he's actually inside the city. And then now in 19, we find out that now he is sitting at the gate of the city. In other words, he becomes a leader of the city. This is where judges would sit. This is where tax collection would take place. This is where, in essence, the municipality of the city would take place. And now Lot has risen to a place where now he's a leader in the city. He goes from living near the city, he goes from living in the city, and now he's a leader of the city. And this is, in many ways, a really simple picture of really what compromise begins to do with our lives. It's these little decisions that we make. It's not huge decisions. It's these little decisions that we make that can create all kinds of havoc. This is a really extreme, extreme example. But if you people that commit violent crime, they all start off doing little things. People that are addicted to angel dust or PCP or heroin, they all start by smoking cigarettes, right? And then they get into marijuana. And then they get into hash. And then, it just builds and builds and builds and builds. It's these little things that start off. And once you allow compromise to come into your life, it leads to destruction. And really, chapter 19 is this horrific story of Lot and the cost of compromise more than anything else. So these angels come. Lot knows very well the city he lives in. These guys come in and says, "Hey, I want you to stay in my place." He says, "No, we want to stay in the square." He's like, "No, please don't stay in the square." It'd be like if you had guests coming in from town, and they didn't know anything about Hong Kong, and they came into town, and they said, "Oh, I found this hotel. It's right in Wan Chai. It's right on Lockhart and Jaffe, it's a great place." And you say, no, don't stay there. Okay, that's the red light district. You don't want anything to do with this place. Or, I'm going to go to this place in Mong Kok where there's a lot of gang activity. Or, if I was living in L.A. and someone said, "Hey, I found this place in South Central, some guy from Arkansas or something," I'm going to say, no, don't stay there. That's huge gang activity. You know your geography. You know what's going on there. Lot knows very well what kind of people that he's dealing with in this city. He said, "Oh, we're going to sit in this room." He goes, "No, please don't do that. Please come to my house." And he cooks them a huge feast. They do all these things. But then these wicked men hear what's going on. And what a crazy, can you imagine a knock on the door? "Hey, we heard there's some visitors in your house. Bring them out so we can have sex with them." Now, we're talking about men. So obviously we're talking about the sin of homosexuality that's operating here. And we want to have sex with these men. They're strangers, right? It's new, new flesh. And so we want to entertain ourselves with them. And, Lot goes out, "No, don't do this. This is a horrible thing. Please do not." And look at what compromise does to someone's life. You think like an idiot. That's the clearest way I can say this. So what does Lot do? "Hey, guys, don't touch these men. I have two daughters, and they're virgins. And so they've never been with a man." Now, think how ludicrous this is, because we read a few verses later on that these daughters are actually betrothed to different men, right? So they're already taken as wives. And so Lot goes, "Okay, I've got these two daughters. They're actually, in essence, they're not really his daughters anymore. They're betrothed. And I've got these two daughters, and so why don't you just do whatever you want with them and leave these men alone?" That has got to be by far the worst compromise in all of the scriptures. I for the life of me, I can't think of another passage where I've seen such a grievous act by a father in this way, to give up his own daughters to a bunch of perverted, sexually diseased, you know what I mean? I mean, just crazy men. And Lot thinks this is a great idea. This is a brilliant idea. This is how I'm going to solve this whole issue. Here, why don't you take these men? And obviously, that doesn't solve anything. The man says, "Who do you think you are? Right? We're gonna take those guys. We're gonna do with what we want. We're gonna take your daughters and do what we want with them, even worse. And we're gonna take you and do what we want, even worse than those men." And is this threat and this huge thing that comes about? And so the men, you know, these guys try to break the door down. The angels strike them with blindness. They come out of their way, and here's another cost of compromise. So the angels say, "Hey, you know, Lot, take all your family, your relatives, your friends. Come on, go. I'm going to destroy this city." And so Lot says, okay. So he goes to his sons-in-laws, who are about to be married to his daughters, and he says, "Hey, let's go right now, man. God's going to destroy this city." And what do the sons-in-laws say? "You must be joking." They probably laughed. "Come on. You have a relationship with God? You know who God is? No, you don't know God. There is no God." You know what I mean? It's this crazy. I mean, think about in context. I mean, I would like to think, you know, I got three girls, right? I would like to think that when they get married eventually, right? 50 years later, and when that happens. And they get married, and they have, you know, fiancés. I'd hope that they respect me. I mean, isn't that the hope of every parent? You know what I mean? I hope that they would listen to what I have to say, that they would want to listen and want to respect and want to honor and all these things. I mean, I remember when you know I was what's the word? About to get married. What's the word for that? Engaged. Thank you. So, sorry. So when I was engaged, man, I would do anything for my mother-in-law. You know what I mean? I would do anything for my brother-in-law. I was like their personal slave if they wanted to. It was just so natural. You know, Matt and Rachel, right? Matt, you'd probably do anything for Rachel's family. You know, walk on a bed of nails, right? You better say yes, man. You know, but I mean that's how I mean, in this context how crazy this is. Here's these guys that are about to marry his daughters, and he says, "Let's go, man. We gotta get out of this place." And they thought he was joking. They're like, "You gotta be kidding me, right?" And they laughed. And it says a couple things. One, it probably says that he never shared God with his sons-in-laws. That he picked two pagans, right? That whatever seemed right. I mean, this is what compromise does. It really tweaks your perspective. It tweaks your mindset. You don't think clearly. I mean, you basically lose your mind in some way. He gives his daughters, and then he goes out the end of 14. They thought his sons-in-law thought he was joking, that he was jesting. And then the angel said, "Okay, so take your wife and your two daughters." Okay, now it's his household. In other words, right, Lot has got zero credibility. Absolutely none. Compromise. The spirit of compromise. The end result, right, or I should say not the end result, but one of the aspects of that is you have no credibility. Absolutely not. You know, and people say, they go to a bar, you know, "I'm trying to reach, you know, non-believers," and you're getting drunk just like they are, right? And, "Jesus loves you," you know, whatnot. And you know what they're thinking? "Why should I listen to you? You're just like me. You know, the world, you know, what message do you have? You act just like me. You live just like me. You party just like me. You play just like, you spend money just like I do." Right? There's nothing different about you. That in essence, you lose your distinctiveness. And that's precisely what happens in Lot's case. He loses his distinctiveness. And the result is death. His brother-in-law, or his sons-in-laws die. And then this has huge ramifications later on that we'll see the cost of this compromise more. And so they go on, and Lot, so they said, okay, let's get out of here, take him up. And Lot hesitates. He's frozen now. He's stuck. He doesn't know what to do. Does he trust these angels and whatnot, or does he go on his own devices? And this is the pure mercy of God. The men seized, verse 16, the men seized his hand, the hand of his wife, the hand of his daughters, for the compassion of the Lord was upon him. And they brought him out and put him outside the city. Isn't that amazing? The compassion of God was on them. So even though he hesitated, even though he was stuck, not in his right mind, don't know what to do, the angel literally just grabbed him and just plucked him out. And then they go off. And the only thing that they have to obey now, okay, forget all this, so the only thing they have to obey is don't look behind you. Don't look behind you. There's a lot of theories into this whole thing, right? And this is my personal feeling, okay? This is just me. Please don't share with anyone else, right? But I personally believe this was a clear indication that, in essence, it was an angel of death or something that was there. And I know this sounds really crazy, okay? And I'm going to sound really crazy, but did you ever watch Raiders of the Lost Ark? Remember Raiders of the Lost Ark? Remember when they opened the ark and everyone died? That's actually comes from 1 Samuel when they are in Beth Shemesh, and they open the Ark of the Covenant, and 50,070 people die on the spot. And there was something about an angelic or something spiritual that just immediately caused death. And this could be the fire and brimstone that comes down upon this whole valley. And all they had to do is don't look back. Don't look. That's all they had to do. Right, just one simple command, plucked them out, don't look back. That was it, and we know what happens. She goes and she looks back, and then she becomes a pillar of salt right on the spot. I have no idea what that means, okay? You know, why salt? I mean, they're actually literally right next to the Dead Sea, and so maybe there could have been something, you know, in relation to that, you know, it's kind of crazy. But, you know, what we can figure out here is that sin costs. Sin costs. And we see the compromise of Lot, his brothers in his, I keep saying brother, his sons-in-laws perish, his wife perishes, right? And so he, you know, in one essence, he doesn't keep his house in order. And then they go down and fire and brimstone. There's a couple of theories that they say that possibly a volcano erupted. And so fire and brimstone falls down. It could have been this angel of death. I mean, a lot of different things could have happened. And so he goes into this cave now, and the two daughters are with him. And, I mean, can you imagine how upset as a daughter you would be? First of all, your father just gave you away to a bunch of perverted men, you know, basically to get gang raped, you know, on the spot there in the city square. And then next thing you know, their husbands are gone. And so look at the device. This is the cost of compromise. Hey, let's get dad drunk and let's have relations with him, and so we can have a child. And the older one does it. The next day, the younger one does it. And we basically have the conclusion of this whole thing, and that's precisely what happens. And the end result is that the nation of Moab is born on this day, and the nation of Ammon is born on this day. And if you do a cursory read of Judges, of 1 and 2 Samuel, of 1 and 2 Kings and Chronicles, you know that these guys have been the enemies of Israel. It's crazy. Compromise costs something. You know, when Jesus says, be faithful in a little thing, and you'll be entrusted with much, that's what happens. When we're not faithful in those little things, and we just, you know, a little thing here and there, you know, I'll just take this, you know, I'll just do this white lie, you know, I'll compromise a little bit here, and I'll compromise a little bit there, and it starts growing and growing and growing. And next thing you know, you're living near Sodom, and then next thing you know, you're in the city of Sodom. Next thing you know, you become one of the leaders in the city of Sodom. And then in the midst of all that, the really great loss is you lose your voice. You lose your ability and your credibility to share Christ with people, which is life and death in this way. So let's close our eyes. We're going to sing one song together. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to really kind of look deep inside of us. Are you compromising right now in some way? Are you in a relationship and are you compromising in that relationship? Oh, it's okay. I can just touch her here. I'm not going to touch her there. I'll just touch her here. It's the road that leads to destruction. Are you compromising at your work? Are you compromising with your finances? You know, little here, little there. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. It is the road that leads to destruction. As we break our fast today, I'm calling us to repent. I'm calling us to get straight. Compromise will make our journey very, very crooked. And let's bring things to order. In a way, let's reboot. Let's reboot. And let the Holy Spirit speak to you about maybe an area of compromise that you're unaware of. Let him whisper to your heart. That's it.
For I am yours. Spirit leads me when my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me when my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me when my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. My faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours.
As we come and take communion, this is what I feel like the Lord is saying to us today. It's on Matthew 25, and as you partake, I want you to pray and just open your heart to hear God's voice in your life. And this is what I feel like He's saying to us. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter the joy of your master." And then down to 29. "For to everyone who has shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away." I feel like this morning, as we come up, you know, this is a lot of sacrifice, countless, you know, hours and hours of prayer before the Lord. And really, I feel like the Lord speaking to each one of us. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in the joy of your master. Right? Because you're faithful in the little thing, God will entrust you with much. And the much, He says, even, you know, him who has much, even more will be given. The issue is trust. Right? God trusts us, so He gives us more. And so when we come up to take communion, and you guys can take your time. If you need to leave early, I want you to come up to the beginning, and I'll serve it to you. And then you just go and sit down somewhere and just take your time partaking it. And then you're dismissed to go afterwards, and you can join us in the back for some congee and just enjoy that time. We'll be playing worship throughout this time. And so let this just be a moment with you and the Lord today. Maybe in accordance to what I talked about on Sunday, you know, let this be a Luke 7 moment where you just get to sit at His feet and partake in what God is doing. Amen. Thank you.
When oceans rise, my soul.